Thank you for tuning in to the Royals in Action broadcast today. Your participation means a lot to us. The essence of this program is to educate you on how to apply the Word of God practically to bring about positive outcomes in your daily situations. And joining us for this insightful journey is R.K. Achina.
Today, I want to begin by telling you about a young man named Johnson. Johnson is a young man, and when he was just 8 years old, his father, Mr. Ron, a man who had built his life from nothing, he fell very ill. And in those final moments, Mr. Ron caught his son close, and he reached under his pillow and pulled out a worn leather journal. Very, very old leather journal. And then he took Johnson's hands and pressed it into his small palms. And it was like, take this, he said so subtly, trying to, find his words. He started coughing, struggling to speak. And he was like, everything I know is in here. And just like that, he was gone. To the little boy, the journal was just a keepsake, He thought it was just his father's old notebook, pages of thoughts, sketches, and memories. He had no idea what he held in his hands. He didn't know it was more than just words on paper. He didn't know that. He didn't know that buried in that old journal were business secrets, account numbers, and the keys to his father's entire fortune. He didn't know that the answers to his struggles were written in his father's own hand. So guess what? Johnson went on living. He went on struggling, working long hours, barely making ends meet. And every time life got hard, he would sigh and he would whisper, if only Dad were here, he would know what to do. But the truth is, his father had left him, the answer. The journal sat on his shelf, untouched. Pages of the old journal were never read. And all this time, the solution was right there, written in ink, waiting to be found. I wonder how many people live exactly like Johnson. I wonder how many of us are walking around with an old journal sitting on our shelves, waiting to usher us into a different life, to the best life, to the Zoe life, but we remain on our way. As I think about Johnson's story, I can't help but wonder if that's not just his story, I believe it's ours too. Beloved, there is a power, there is a promise, and there is an inheritance God has placed right within our reach, but so often we live like we don't even know it is there. And that's why, for the next few moments, I want to talk to you on the subject, the power you are hiding from you. The power you are hiding from you. Because sometimes the greatest thing standing between you and the life God has for you is, you are right, it is you. It is you. You've kept this old journal in a drawer with other saved items. You are always walking around day and night. You could open the drawer for your watch, for your flashlight, for your spare change, but that old journal remains untouched, remains undusted, unread. And yet every time you are complaining, every time you are crying, every time you are wishing and hoping Jesus will come down and touch you, hoping your prayers will reach even higher than your ceiling. Beloved, don't worry. Today, you will discover the power you've been hiding from yourself. Amen. Oh, amen. So, I'm going to need you to grab your Bibles real quick and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. We are going to read from verse number 1 all the way to verse number 7. Because right there, Paul is about to show us what it means to live with faith eyes, to see what can't be seen, to walk in a power that's been ours all along. I'll try my best to explain as we read along so you can have a deeper understanding of this. Let's read it together. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house," talking about the body we live in here on earth, "this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Verse 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven," referring to our future resurrection body. Verse 3, "If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked." Verse 4, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." In other words, while we live in this earthly body, we have burdens, and we do not want to be naked, but want to be clothed with our future resurrection bodies. Verse 5, "Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God." Now, what very thing is he talking about? He's talking about what he has been explaining from verse 1. Our destiny to receive resurrection bodies. In other words, God has prepared us to receive resurrection bodies and also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The verse number 6, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Amen. Oh, amen. This means that we always have confidence, because even though we reside in our physical bodies and don't yet experience Christ's presence in the complete, direct, face-to-face way that we will at the resurrection, we are still connected to him through faith and not sight. Oh, is somebody catching this? I need you to see it for yourself. Maybe you've read this text several times, but today is going to talk to you in a special way. Pay attention. Let's read verse 6 and 7 again. Verse 6, it says, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." The verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." What this text is telling you right now is that even though you are currently living in your physical bodies and haven't experienced Christ like you would at the resurrection, where you can talk to him face to face and ask questions and get all the prophecies you want, we can still have confidence. Why? Because our connection to Christ isn't based on seeing him face to face right now, but on trusting him through faith. Oh, somebody, do you get it now? Do you get it now? Imagine if you could just call an Uber, right? And just point in heaven as your destination and drive off to Jesus straight up. I mean, what would you do if you could get to Jesus like that? I know. You don't need to answer that, because I know exactly what some of us are going to do. Amen. Some of us would be lining up for a healing. You know, Jesus, lay your hands on me real quick. I've got this back pain. Others would be ready with a list of questions. You know, Jesus, what's my purpose in life? Jesus, when is that job coming? And Jesus, I need you to settle this once and for all. Should I marry Isaac or Tom? You see what I mean? Wouldn't it be easy to have confidence if you could see Jesus, if you could touch him and get your answers in real time? I guess everyone would. But here's what Paul is saying. You don't have to wait for that Uber ride to heaven. You don't have to see Jesus with your physical eyes to have that same confidence. Because what sight could do for you, what seeing Jesus face to face could accomplish for you, faith can do it right now. Faith can do it right here in your everyday life. Oh, somebody, you don't get it. Beloved, faith is your access. Faith is your hotline. Faith is your key. Faith is your old worn leather journal. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to where it all started. Creation, when God made man. Beloved, when God formed Adam from the dust, he didn't just make a body. He crafted a masterpiece. Amen. You are a masterpiece, my brother. You are a masterpiece, my sister. You are a living, breathing being equipped with everything you need to experience this physical world. Why am I saying this? I am saying this because when God formed Adam from dust, he gave him 5 incredible senses: taste, smell, touch, sight, and hearing. And each one of these senses is essentially a channel for us to connect with the world around us. Mm-hmm. You are able to enjoy the sweetness of chocolate because of your sense of taste. Because of your sense of taste, you can tell if a medicine is bitter or not. Am I right? Because of your sense of smell, you can pick out nice perfumes. Because of this incredible ability, you can actually avoid getting sick from eating spoiled food because you smell it to see if it's good for consumption or not. I could go on and on and on and on. Your sense of touch lets you feel the warmth of a hug. Because of your sense of sight, you could actually see the beauty of a sunset or even the face of a loved one. Just imagine how it would feel if you never saw how you looked like or how your spouse looked like. That would have been awful, right? So these senses are incredible. I wish we could just take a moment when we wake up and thank God for these senses that he has blessed us with. Look at hearing. The sense of hearing. See how it lets you enjoy good music. See how it lets you enjoy this sermon and the sound of a friend's voice. Can we all agree that these senses are a blessing? I'm pretty sure they are. These senses are how we navigate. They are how we survive. They are how we enjoy life. Amen. But here is the thing. It's amazing as these 5 senses are. They all have one thing in common. They connect us to the physical world. They are what I call carnal senses. Not carnal as in sinful, but carnal as in fleshy or earthly, tied, you know, to this natural physical realm. There are many scriptures in the Bible where the word canal is used. The word canal is usually translated from the same Greek word as the word flesh. But what to keep in mind is that all sin is carnal, but not all carnality is sin. Are you with me? So in this sense, carnal senses don't mean sinful senses. It just means earthly or related to the natural realm. Are you on the same page here? Good. Now, let's slow down and really look at how God made us. Because if you miss this, you will miss the whole point of why you are not just another living creature living on earth. See, when God created the animals, Genesis 1:24, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind." The Hebrew word there is nephesh chaya, which means living creature, living soul. That's the same word used in Genesis 2:7 when it says, "And man became a living being." So on the surface, it looks like we are all just, you know, living creatures with the same nefesh chaya. But don't miss this. The process was completely different. Mankind was created differently. Watch how God created us differently. I need you to watch this carefully. With animals, God simply spoke to the earth and the earth responded. Lions, elephants, zebras, they all rose up from the ground just like plants spring forth after the rain. You get the idea? That's how animals were created. They rose from the earth. The earth produced them, and then they became conscious of the natural world. They could see, they could hear, they could smell, they could taste, and they could touch. That is what made them alive. Now, watch how God created man. God did something he didn't do with any other creature. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." That's step number one. God got his hands dirty. He started shaping and molding Adam from the dust. But at that point, Adam had no life. He had no movement. And so God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's step number two. That was not just air. That's the Hebrew word nishmat chayim. Nishmat chayim, which is translated the breath of life. This is a special kind of breath, a breath that God impacted of himself into Adam. And man became a living being. That's step number three. Living being. Now, notice something here. Notice that God created man differently from the way he created animals. Notice that with animals, it is the earth that makes them a living creature. Are you seeing that? But with man, notice that it is the breath of life that makes them a living creature. Is somebody seeing this? So when God breathed into Adam, he impacted life, vitality. The same thing the earth gave animals. Every animal has consciousness of the natural realm and can interact with it. But with the unique act of breathing into Adam, gave mankind seven things that set us apart from animals. Let's look at them quickly. Seven things that set mankind apart from animals. Number one, God gave man a spirit. Write it down. God gave man a spirit. The Bible says in the book of Job 32 verse 8, "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding." Animals don't have spirits. That's why you don't see anybody out there evangelizing to cows or holding altar calls for the sheep and the goats. Amen. Imagine someone grabbing their Bible and heading to the barn and saying, I'm going to preach to the cows today. I don't know, but people will come and take you away. Right? Cows don't need the gospel because they don't have a spirit that can connect with God. But you do. You have a spirit that can know God, that can hear God and respond to God. Can I get an amen? Number two, God gave man his likeness. His likeness. Genesis chapter 1 verse 24, it says, animals were created according to their kind. But when it came to man, we were created according to his likeness. God said, let us make man in our image. Here's the key word, according to our likeness. The Amplified Version, when you read it, it's either that not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. Is somebody with me? You are the visible representation of God's nature on earth. You can create, you can laugh, and you can dream. Animals can do that. They operate by instinct, but you operate by inspiration. Hallelujah. So that's number two, likeness. Number three, God gave man identity. Identity. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 19, we see that God referred to the living creature that he was previously calling the man. In the first chapter, as Adam, that was the first time God called the man Adam. And in the same verse, you will notice that God gave man the ability to identify and name his creations. By allowing Adam to name every living creature, God established him not just as a recipient of identity, but as a participant in the process of giving identity. So this identity-giving authority continues throughout human history. When you invent something, you name it. When you establish a company, you name it. When you welcome a newborn child into the world, you name it. When you create art, music, or literature, you name it. Mankind has the ability to give identity. God gave each one of us our own special identity. We are not like animals that are just grouped by their kind. You know, the lion family, the elephant family, you know, the goat family. We are not like animals. Each one of us is unique. Think about it. We all have different fingerprints. We all have different faces, and we all have different DNAs. Is somebody with me? That's how special God made us. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 43 verse 1 that God calls us by name. He knows us personally. He values us and has a purpose for each and every one of us. That's what makes human life so amazing. That's how personal and special we are to God. Amen. So the fourth thing God gave man after identity is reason. Write it down. Reason. When you read Job chapter 32 verse 8, it says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. The Hebrew word used for understanding is binah. Bina, which comes from the root word bin.
which means understanding, discernment, intelligence, and insight. It means the ability to discern between things, perceive their true nature, and apply wisdom correctly. Humans have the God-given ability to think, to plan, to analyze, to imagine, and solve problems. So through this reasoning ability, man is able to evolve themselves, to develop stuff like art, to develop music, to develop technology, to develop civilization itself, and to also seek after deeper things of life. Animals don't have the ability to reason. Instead, they have what scientists call instinct and conditioning. By instinct, I mean animals rely on inherited patterns of behavior that help them to survive. So, for example, look at birds. Birds automatically know how to build nests without being taught. Have you realized that? It's a behavior that's naturally inherited and doesn't need teaching. Are you on the same page here, somebody? And by conditioning, I mean learning through repeated experience, through associating behaviors with rewards or punishments. So take a dog, for example. A dog doesn't understand why it should pee outside. It doesn't understand the concept of hygiene. But if you take your dog out regularly and reward it with meat when it pees outside, eventually it will learn that concept very well. Am I right? The dog will not think I should go pee outside to keep the house clean. No. It will simply learn that peeing outside is equal to getting more meat. So it will just do that basic association, and that's the only thing it can do. It cannot reason like the way humans do. Amen. Oh, amen.
Thank you for joining us in this enlightening journey today. Before we wrap up, subscribe to our podcast so you're kept in the loop about our next amazing episodes. To join our community or support our ministry, click the link in the description or visit royalsinaction.org. Until next time, Royals in Action is here to remind you to embrace your destiny as a chosen channel of God's royalty. God bless you.